Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. Mayor Pruitt? Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Bond? Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Mead?
Here.
Councilmember Steckler?
Here.
Councilmember Bond is was given some mandatory overtime tonight, so he is an hour to an hour and a half out.
Okay, first up is presentations. For those of us that are MCCA members, yeah? Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking too far. Audience communication. Mary Kay, you're first up. 3 minutes, please. Name and address.
Thank you. I'm Mary Kay Voss at 15226 12th Drive Southeast. Just some brief comments tonight. I notice with interest that there is no exec session on your agenda tonight. Were the council expecting to have an exec session so you can reach a conclusion to what's been going on for the last 6 months, or are you not having one?
Well, the city attorney is not here yet, Mayor and Council, but I do expect that he will be asking council to hold an executive session at the conclusion of your business meeting tonight.
Well, our understanding is that that was on your agenda, but it got removed at the request of the mayor. Why? We're not sure, because it should have been noticed that you were going to have an exec session, because we all know what it's about. That's why we're here. Funny, we got the word out even though you tried to make sure we didn't know it was going to occur. We would ask, and although Mr. Stone just said that it was because we may have to wait because of Scott Massal not being here yet, I would have asked for your indulgence that if you're going to have that, and it will be affecting everybody in the room, if you could possibly do it earlier in the evening rather than waiting after your study session and everything else that's on your agenda, to have that a little earlier in the evening so people who only came so that we could finally hear the outcome of this saga would be able to do that without being too late, if that's not a possibility. But I will express my concern that something that you knew was going to need to be discussed tonight, you knew it was going to be an exec session, unless you guys have had an exec session sometime in the last couple of weeks where you've already made up your minds and you know what you're going to say tonight, then we assume you would be going to exec session. To not notice it is a violation. It should be noticed. It should have been on the agenda. I would just ask the mayor why she removed it, if she knew darn good and well that you would be having an exec session tonight. Thank you. You might answer that at some point this evening.
Actually, Mary Kay, I did not remove it, but the city attorney will be here to address your concerns. So, next up is Carmen Fisher. Item agenda C.
I'll just like
Carmen Fisher, 14623 Main Street, apartment B101. I just came to say briefly that the item we're going to talk about as agenda item C, which I brought up before, I wanted to thank the council for delaying action on that, and particularly to thank Chief Elwin, who spoke to me about it immediately. We're easily able to find some language that's been added, I think, to the version that you'll be voting on tonight that I feel more comfortable with. And this is actually the way Chief Elwin has responded to any question or concern I've ever brought up to anything at all related to what he does, and I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Anybody else? Going once, twice? Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I didn't see your hand.
No, it's all right. Kathy Nielsen, 3015 146 Place, the Cottonwood Division. I don't have a plan discussion here, but I feel that this whole 6 months since you've made some decisions regarding the city manager, and it is certainly my hope this evening that this will end tonight. I think the citizens of Mill Creek deserve an answer and clarification about the future of business being run here. It's been run extremely well by Bob Stowe. I had the pleasure to be with Bob Stowe when I sat on the council
I know he's a great city manager. I'm very happy that he's here. But we need to move on with business for the citizens of Mill Creek. And I ask that you address that and when you come back out of executive session, that hopefully this will end and we can move forward. Thank you.
With that, we will move on to presentations. For those of us who have lived here any number of years in the MCCA area, Mary Ann Heine took care of all of us. You can't even think of all the stuff that she did, all the times we go into the office, this problem, that problem. She knew the answers. And so tonight we're going to honor her with a proclamation. And her husband, Dan, is here, and daughter, Julia. So I'm going to read the proclamation, then we'd like to take a picture with you receiving the proclamation. Whereas Mary Ann Heine passed away from complications due to cancer on July 5th, 2018, and whereas Mary Ann Heine served as the executive administrator for the Mill Creek Community Association, MCCA, for the 20 years prior to her passing, and whereas the MCCA is a large community association in the city of Mill Creek, comprising approximately one-half of the city's population, and whereas Mary Ann Heine's passion for community service and actions to promote livability in the community have led to a strong relationship between MCCA and the City of Mill Creek, whereby we have worked together to address concerns of mutual interest and provide a community that residents can be proud of. And whereas as the executive administrator of the MCCA, Mary Ann Heine worked with the City of Mill Creek on many projects to enhance the livability of the city through enhancement and maintenance of landscaping and maintenance of public and private common areas, preservation of significant trees that improve aesthetics and provide habitat for wildlife, and maintenance of private properties to enhance and maintain property values and reduce crime. And whereas Mary Ann Heine coordinated and planned the installation of new playground equipment, park furniture, subdivision entry signs, and the display of flower baskets and holiday wreaths along the roadway, all of which improved the quality of life for members of MCCA and the residents of the City of Mill Creek. Whereas Mary Ann Heine left a lasting legacy of serving the community and will be missed by city staff and officials and the City of Mill Creek community. Now, therefore, I, Pam Pruitt, the Mayor of the City of Mill Creek, on behalf of the entire City Council, do hereby thank and honor Mary Ann Heine for her service to our city. Thank you very much. So.
Well,
usually
we'll have you right there. Or do you want to go down there?
We should all be on the same level.
We can do that. We can go down there. Yeah, why don't you come up? All the way up. So we're staying up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're up. We're down.
Just to follow where he is.
Drop something back on the angle.
And Tom's.
I got the little.
Agenda on September 4th, but removed from the consent agenda motion to allow opportunity for council and the public to review the ordinance and provide comment on the ordinance. And so the chief is going to provide just a big presentation this evening regarding the change into the city civil service rules.
Thanks, sir.
Good evening, council. So just briefly, in this past legislative session, Senate Bill 6145 was passed by the legislature and signed by the governor, and it essentially changed one element of the civil service rules that govern the hiring of public safety law enforcement officers, and that allows for resident aliens to be eligible to become police officers in the state of Washington, where before it was specifically and narrowly limited to U.S. citizens. And that's a recognition, I think, on the part of our legislature, too, that recognizing more of the diversity in our community and in our state, and also makes for a good opportunity for police departments like ours to broaden our reach when it comes to recruiting and hiring. So that changed RCW 4112070 once that was codified. And what we've done here with this ordinance is revised our municipal code, which governs our Civil Service Commission, to mirror the language that's in the RCW. So really it's a cleaning up and bringing us in line with the state statute and the intent of the legislature. Fairly simple revision. Yes, sir.
Ms. Fisher alluded to a change that you made. What was that? What was the change in the language?
Sure. When we prepared our draft, we didn't include the language from the RCW and the Senate bill in its entirety, and there was a portion within the Senate bill and the RCW which it's a simple sentence that says nothing in this section impairs an applicant's rights under the state anti-discrimination laws, and that's a follow-up to a piece of that code that says if a law enforcement agency says it's a hardship to be able to conduct a background investigation on an applicant who perhaps came from halfway around the world, a hemisphere or two away, and perhaps maybe not even with a family or a community that we might not even be able to find to do a background investigation on, that the agency, the city, can say, hey, we can't do that background investigation. We can't eliminate that candidate as an applicant. It's kind of a settled upon language in the legislature. So the change we made here was to add that sentence. We pulled that sentence directly from the RCW and inserted it into our municipal code, and now we've taken care of that concern.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll be supporting this. I'm thankful for Carmen Fisher, Rochelle, in the corner there, for bringing this to our attention. We've attempted in the sheriff's office to address this through labor agreements, and that's kind of the reason it gets to the governor's, the Senate, and the governor's stage. Very glad common ground was reached, that the language is appropriate, and we always want to be better than yesterday and be inclusive of everyone. Thanks, Carmen.
Lawful permanent residents in conformance with RCW 4112070.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously.
Thank you, Council.
Okay, next up is item D, and that is Parks and Recreation Departments, Councilmember Cavallari, and
filled in.
Councilmember Todd.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor. We in Mill Creek are blessed to have a large number of participation with our committees here in the city. Tonight we have three openings for the Park Board, and I'm prepared to recommend to the City Council existing member Brett Nagel, Stephanie Vignow, and Melissa Duque to participate and become Parks Board members for the next 3 years.
Second that motion.
So we have a
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Congratulations. Okay, next up is item E, an ordinance adopting requirements regarding the acceptance and use of donations and sponsorships. And this is our first meeting.
Please correct me. Good evening, Council. This is an ordinance that establishes limited circumstances for which the city to accept appropriate donations and sponsorships. Under state law, the city is required to adopt an ordinance any time that you are to accept a donation. This ordinance also replaces a current city policy on donations that was included in your agenda packet. The proposed ordinance provides that the city manager is authorized to accept monetary donations or sponsorships up to $50,000, including monetary donations or sponsorships conditioned on how those monies can be spent. So long as the donation or sponsorship applies to a city budgeted expenditure. And so that is a key policy element, that up to $50,000 and must be a city budgeted expenditure. The city manager is also required under the ordinance to notify the council of his or her decision, and at the manager's discretion may also request that council approve prior to acceptance. City council approval is required for any monetary donation or sponsorship having a value conversely over $50,000, all made with specific terms or conditions outside of a city budgeted expenditure. Again, that key policy element. The ordinance also addresses one, non-monetary donations in a similar manner as the monetary donations. It addresses non-acceptance of donations or sponsorships and also addresses acknowledgement of donations and sponsorship. Finally, the proposed ordinance authorizes the city manager to develop and to enact administrative policies and procedures to further provide some guidance and limitations on the proper acceptance of donations and sponsorships and providing for the appropriate oversight at all levels of the organization. I've worked with the city staff to develop such administrative procedures and policies that will do that. And police chief and the city's marketing and communications director is here this evening that could answer questions that you might have regarding those specific policies and procedures. Again, I provide those as a reference document only, and I look forward to addressing any questions or concerns that council may have in regards to the proposed ordinance.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. I guess one of my questions would be is, all the cash awaiting the city. I don't know
that they were that fortunate to have a windfall of cash waiting for the city, but again, state law does require that you adopt an ordinance for any acceptance of donations. Now, we do have a donations policy. You can certainly utilize that and simply lift that language from the resolution into an ordinance, but we felt it was appropriate to provide an updated, more current version of the donations, of the donation policy. Sponsorships is something that's been practiced by the city for years. Since I was here last, as sponsorships have occurred in the recreation department, and it's just a policy that we believe is time to be implemented.
Go ahead. I think you got me at the same time. Go ahead. If you would, so first, John, go ahead.
Quick question, Bob.
Yes.
I noticed that the monetary donations would be immediately deposited in the general fund. I was curious why they're not designated to go into a separate fund and not into the general fund.
Well, the general fund is where most of your operations are at, and unless the donor has stipulated a specific use for those funds are probably more appropriately residing in the general fund, versus the only other funds that you have outside of that are enterprise fund, which would be a sponsorship. Or it would be the surface water fund.
So there isn't a problem with commingling it with the general fund?
No, it's not.
Okay.
We would certainly track those donations, and if whatever specific term or condition that the money had on that, and that the city was accepting, we would track that accordingly.
Thanks. A couple of questions or comments. I'm glad we're updating these policies. This is good to get the two of them separated out. The donations are different from sponsorships and clarify all that stuff. This is fantastic. And I'm just asking us to kind of double check. I wrote down 4.4 in the sponsorship policy and in 6.5.7. We're putting the city manager in the spot of having to make a value judgment in some cases about somebody wants to give you a statue, well, excuse me, sponsorship, wants to give you some money but requires that it's somehow recognized they're politically charged or some other kind of thing, some other thing that might be against city policy. And it sounds like you're kind of cutting it. It says it's got to be in line with city normal kinds of policies, but you can always refer it to us. I guess the question is, do we feel like we're pretty well covered? Is this language similar to what other cities do, so you can kind of not dance around, but deal with some of those issues that might come up with groups that might be biased one way or the other, and the city just doesn't want to get involved?
We think it is. We spend a lot of time making sure that these policies, the ordinance and then the implementing policies, covered a variety of situations that, although none of which may never materialize here, have occurred elsewhere. And so we spend a great deal of thought in making sure that we're having a comprehensive policy to deal with many different situations.
Thanks. Yeah, so like the policy, going back to that, so now it says like the A&B board or the Park and Recreation board might be consulted in the case of like giving art or giving those kinds of things. Does that, their advisory to the city council, but the role they've been given this policy is that maybe they would be consulted as advisor, and it looks like to staff. Change the role of the A&B board and the Park and Recreation board, that's within their purview to give you recommendations? Because I think formally they're just only give recommendations to us, or is that an issue?
I'm not sure if it's an issue, but certainly something we can follow up on when we implement the policies to make sure if there's any corresponding change that would need to be done in sort of the scope or definition of the individual boards.
Okay. The last one, because the old policy probably was way too detailed, and so maybe I'm glad we've lightened it up some, but it had a lot of things, particularly if somebody gives us a piece of art, it was, well, they had to provide the money to install it and maintain it and make sure it wasn't going to be a eyesore 10 years later. We've pulled a lot of that kind of detail out, it seems like, but I think that's still, those are good things to have. And so I think I'm all in favor of staff making sure there's internal policies to at least think through what happens if you take something on. If I give you a great old barn door to preserve forever, I'm not sure that's a good gift unless it comes with the money to make sure it stays.
Good comment. Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a couple. I think this is good to get this down and documented, but I do have some questions for clarification. On the donation policy, the 50,000 limit, so is there intended to be a temporal component to that? So in other words, if someone wanted to get around having the city manager bring it to the city council, what if someone came to the city manager and said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 50,000 on Thursday and another 50,000 on Friday?
I would view it in a similar way that contracts are authority for a city manager is up to $50,000. You can't string together a series of contracts in order to circumvent the intent of that policy. And the same would be true for donations as well.
Yeah, that's what I assumed was the intent. So I don't know if maybe it would be good if we had Scott here, whether we need to add some language that says a donation from a person or entity within a year period cannot exceed a certain amount.
Certainly that's one way to do it, $50,000 annually.
Maybe I missed it also in here.
If we have that problem, that would not be that bad of a problem necessarily to have, right?
the authority of the city manager,
yes,
has been a hot issue around here in the last 6 months or a couple years, so I want to make sure it's clarified. There's a lot of references to fair market value, and references came up to artwork. I did not see anything in here about art is
very subjective, that's correct.
I have the beholder, so I don't know. This is just a question. Do we need to have some...
Absent an art expert providing an appraisal on a piece of artwork, that's going to be a difficult thing for anyone unless they have those credentials or experience behind them to place a value. So if someone presented me with a piece of artwork and claimed to be $100,000, I would research and try to find some expert documentation as to that value.
Well, I guess that's where I'm going is for art. I mean, do we need to distinguish the value of a piece of artwork? Is something that an appraiser could say is worth $10, someone else could say is worth $1 million?
The purpose is only to, as we've divided the responsibilities for acceptance, that being city manager, 50,000 or 50,000 above for council, and recognize that. I'll stop there.
No, and that was the thought that occurred to me. Is I certainly don't want to advocate for us spending the money to determine the value of something to decide whether the person in the corner office or the seven of us decide whether to accept the donation. So I didn't know if artwork was something we might consider carving out from that. I don't know. Just a thought. And then the last one, I don't know how to broach this, the sponsorship. Where's the language? Did the city attorney review that sponsorship language?
Yes, both the ordinance language as well as the actual, as well as the implementing policies and procedures.
Actually, I'm scrolling down. Here it is, 6.5.7. So we have a series of factors that the city manager, the city is to consider in determining whether to consider a sponsorship. And generally, there's one that won't tarnish the city's reputation. So I'm thinking of it from the lawyer's perspective. I mean, the thought that occurred to me, what if Hooters came to us and said, we want to sponsor Freedom Field? I want to make sure that whatever we have here gives us enough discretion. So if we want to say no, we can say no and not end up in Superior Court in Everett. So that might be an extreme example. But when I read the language, tarnish the city's standing, I'd be interested in, maybe this is just something we need some follow-up from Scott. I just want to make sure he's comfortable that we've got enough language in here to give the city enough discretion to say no if we want to say no.
Okay. I'll, certainly, before these are implemented, if you approve the policies, I will review this with the city attorney again.
It's a great, I think it's great. And those are just the thoughts that occurred to me when I read through them.
Thank you.
Is there some reason that when we bring it back for review that you have?
Well, again, I certainly can. The policies are there for a reference. So the council action this evening is to consider the proposed ordinance.
We're not going to do the ordinance will come back. You don't need that in the ordinance.
No, I don't think so. I just want to make sure that if it's in the policy, if that's where it's determined it goes, I just want to make sure it's iron tight and we're comfortable that it gives us the discretion we need to have.
Well, I think there's two approaches. I think we could approve the ordinance tonight, and I don't think the ordinance really gets to that level. And we could do that with the city manager's commitment to make sure the policy has that review so we can get this done and have the ordinance in place. Or we could say, let's put the whole thing off. I'm fine with approving the ordinance tonight because I think that's – I'm with Councilmember Holtzclaw that that's the concern we've talked about. But I'm fine with the ordinance itself doesn't get to that level of detail. So I'm okay with that, but – whatever other folks want to do. Thanks.
I have some questions, and we've talked about this. So one of the issues that we can't just do policies and ordinances. So that said, are there protections here for optics? I mean, it's really hard when the police are enforcing the law and somebody can write a check, and that can look bad and be totally nothing. So what type of protections have you put in here against, for instance, the optics?
Well, I think the protections that are in here are, one, the city manager's authority of 50,000, the ability for the city manager to pass that along to the council for concurrence if he or she chooses or sees that that's a benefit. Needs to be a budgeted expenditure. If it's not a budgeted expenditure, then it automatically goes over to the council for approval. There's conflict of interest clauses within the ordinance to avoid any conflict or appearance of conflict. There are ethics rules that govern city employees' actions. So I think we've tried to identify as many protections and boundaries as we can when accepting donations or sponsorships, but clearly it's hard to avoid every situation or every bad view that someone might take on a particular donation beyond what we've identified. We've tried to do the best we can.
And do we have a way to, if somebody raises a question, a way to deal with it, a procedure?
Would that be one of the...
Well, if someone raises an issue, certainly they can raise it to the city council, they can raise it to the city manager. If it seems as if it's not a straightforward answer or straightforward solution of accepting something, then I think it's incumbent upon the city manager then to raise that to the council level for discussion.
Five years down the road, different people, different councils, you want to have a policy that's strong all the time.
Exactly.
Okay. So does the council want to move forward on this today, or do you want it to come back?
I'm fine either way.
The first issue I did raise went to the ordinance, and I don't know if the staff wants to consult with Scott after, well, put him on the spot about it. The donation ordinance, is it common in these types of ordinances for cities to have a temporal limit? If we're setting a threshold by which it has to, the city manager has authority to approve the donation, the example I gave is what if someone came to the city manager and said, I'll give you $50,000 on Thursday and $50,000 on Friday. Do we need to have language saying that, language that would kick that over the threshold into the council, or is that implied? Does there need to be that the city manager has authority to accept donations with a value up to $50,000 from the same person or entity within X amount of time?
And although I indicated that it would be a nice problem to have, we
right.
certainly could indicate in the ordinance that $50,000 annually is the limit that the city manager has to accept donations.
Yes. Yes, we certainly could do that, but the city manager's $50,000 limit's not otherwise circumscribed in the code. So, in fact, he could spend, as long as it's in the budget, he can spend something for $50,000, right? And he could spend it on 10 things or 50 things if he needed to do that. I don't see a problem with putting a temporal limit on if that's what you want. My sense is, though, that you need to rely on the managers and the people to do the right thing.
You think it's necessary?
Do I think it's necessary? I've not received any, no. Based on everything I know and the facts and evidence, which is next to nothing, I've never heard of an exceedance of that nature here in this city.
Fair enough. I'd be prepared to move forward with the ordinance tonight and deal with the issues on the policies at a subsequent meeting. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Okay. Next up is in... fascinating topic, extension of cable television franchise agreement with Frontier
Communications. Thank you, Mayor. And as the Mayor indicated, this is an extension of the cable franchise agreement with Frontier Communications. This is the result of some continuing negotiations that need to occur between the parties. If we do not issue this amendment or authorize this amendment, our current agreement will expire and both parties want to continue negotiating. They simply can't get it done prior to the expiration. Therefore, we're recommending that you authorize the city manager to extend the franchise agreement through November 7th, 2019.
I'd be happy to make a motion to adopt Ordinance 2018-835, extending the cable television franchise with Frontier Communications Northwest for 1 year.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Study session tonight is Mill Creek Sports Park Turf and Light Replacement Project Update. Bob.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a real quick introduction. This is a study session. We want to provide an update to the City Council regarding the upcoming sports park turf and light replacement project. And I'd ask the Public Works Director to provide a presentation and facilitate a council study session tonight.
Thank you, Bob. Good evening, Council. As you're aware, the Mill Creek Sports Park was open in 2004, and it's one of our most popular recreational facilities in the city. The project that we're going to be talking about tonight has a very prescribed scope of work that we will review. And as shown in page 58 of your package, it will include the replacement of the original turf, which is currently in poor condition. It will also upgrade the existing park lighting at the field, at the skate park, and also in the parking lot. The existing poles will stay in place. The new lighting will be LED type lighting, which will result in a long-term savings to the city as far as power. We will also be adding a 60-inch ADA, which Americans with Disabilities Act, wide gate for access to the field. And last but not least, we will include a new plaque that will acknowledge our funding partners of RCO and also Snohomish County. So that's the scope of the project. In June of this year, Council authorized staff to proceed with a contract with Roosties and Associates for the design of the sports field, and we are proceeding with that design. Most recently, we got the 60% plans and specs, and the numbers that you see here tonight and we will be discussing tonight represent the latest and greatest information that we've gotten from our design consultant. So as identified in Table 1 of your package, the current budget for the project, for the total project that includes design and construction, is $1,035,000. That budget includes the RCO grant for $250,000. Those dollars can be used for design or construction. And it includes also $100,000 that is an executed ILA with Snohomish County. The remaining difference is provided by the City of Mill Creek via local funds. The contract that Council executed in June with Bruce Dees, it has a total, the current budget is $66,000, and so that leaves $969,000 for the construction phase. So that's the available budget. Now, the construction phase, that includes the contract amount to the contractor and inspection services that we may have for this project. So I have intentionally provided ranges of estimated costs because we are still in a pre-bid phase, and I don't want to necessarily disclose the exact numbers that our consultant has provided as far as their estimate for obvious reasons. So the estimated total construction phase at this time, including inspection and contingency, is in the range of $950,000 up to $1,250,000. Now, this range that I'm providing here is for what we're calling the base bid. So those are the basic elements of the project that we described earlier. And the base bid includes multiple elements, and probably the two most interesting elements, which have also the highest ticket price tags associated with them, are the lighting. So we're proposing Musco lighting or equivalent. This particular lighting has multiple benefits, including its warranty of 25 years in all parts. And also, it reduces the lighting spillout across the street, if you will, towards the residents that are there. So it's an important factor. The other item in the base bid is the synthetic turf and chrome rubber and sand fill. And this particular, the way the specs are worded are such that the contractor will need to test the GMAX factor of the field for 8 years. The turf expected life cycle is 10 years. Obviously, the turf that we have there has exceeded its original life expectancy or life cycle because it's been out there for 14 years. So those are two of the elements that are included in the base bid. There are others, but those are the ones that have the highest price tag. In In addition to the base bid, we're also identifying some additives that are not the basis of award. So we're proposing that the basis of award be the base bid, and to have additive bids for certain other elements that are identified here on page 59 of your package. And the total of those additives is in the range of $100,000 to $140,000, and they include a PA system improvements, replacing the two existing speakers with three new ones, replacement of chain link fence pieces where they're currently deteriorated, replacing netting that is in poor condition, adding wood kick walls behind soccer goals, and then also a play area canopy that would protect the play area from errant balls. So again, these are additives, not part of the base bid. So given that we have a schedule to advertise this project in October, right now it's looking like the third week of October, it was my desire to come to council and share with you what I know about the project costs provided by our consultant, and highlight the fact that our budget at this time may or may not cover the base bid. Now, we are in an ideal climate for advertising projects, which is in October, and contractors are planning their work for the next year, the summer. However, I wanted to provide this courtesy notification that given the information that I received from the consultant, we may not have sufficient funds in our currently adopted budget for this project. Any questions?
I apologize right off the bat. I'm going to be rude. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to be. Unfortunately, I'll try not to be. It has the CIP that right away had a total project cost of $775,000. It had $65,000 in 2017 and $710,000 in 2018 for a total of $775,000. You've got that in here. I don't know city local funds in this discussion about the budget having $685,000 comes from necessarily, because the $710,000 included $434,000 from rent, and we expected a grant from the state of $276,000. Our grant from the state was only $250,000 to $276,000, because that's as high as the RCO grants went this year. That's great. Thank you, staff, for getting that grant. That's fantastic. But our expectation was we're going to spend $65,000 in 2017 and $434,000 in 2018 out of our REIT funds to pay for this, for a total project cost on the order of $775,000. So I'm having a hard time with this little chart down here that's got funding sources and project budget. Help me out on that. Or maybe this is just a process problem we need to fix going forward. I'm just really frustrated that we've get carried away with this. Now, I've not checked in on fuel prices recently, but I'm also flabbergasted if it's $1 million. Because at Cash Park up at Everett, for $1 million, they did a lot more than this $1 million. And so I just don't get it. That's a bigger field, more work. So I'm a little bit lost. And maybe things have gone up that much in the last year and a half, but I'm struggling. Thanks.
So thank you, Councilmember Todd. The adopted budget and CIP identified design happening in 2017 and then construction in 2018. And design is actually started in June of 2018, and now we're going to construction. So as far as what was adopted, our schedule is off. As far as the dollar amounts, Bruce Dees, they work on these type of projects. That is the type of work that they do, and they have their price estimates are based on recently received bids. So I'm not exactly sure how the budget was developed in 2016 and how those estimates were computed. I do know that early estimating is very difficult because there's very limited information, and I'm not sure if my predecessors had the information that I have today. So today I'm able to explain and clearly articulate what the scope of the project is, because I have a lot of information, the benefit of a lot of information provided to me. Back in 2016, I'm not exactly sure that my predecessors would have been able to do that. And that's typical for most CIP projects.
I guess the question is back to Finance Director. So do we have 685 in the REIT fund to do this? Because that's the assumption, I guess, or that that's REIT plus general fund, or... this book, like it or not, we have 434 out of REIT budgeted for this project. And so I'm struggling with how do we get to 685 from 434.
Right. So if you recall from our park analysis that we had a couple of months ago, there was some REIT money that was tucked away from years previous, which was about, I think it was $640,000, that were earmarked for projects that were never completed. We also had another $160,000 that was transferred over to the equipment replacement fund that was earmarked for this specific project. So we do have adequate funds to be able to accommodate the increase in the bid amounts or construction amounts.
But 640 was for regional parks, and this is a regional park, and it's not going to impact our ability to fund Exploration Park, which is a neighborhood park.
Right, we've already transferred that out. The Exploration Park, as we've discussed, if you want to recharacterize the Camas development agreement, because that was a voluntary agreement, and transfer the monies that were associated to a community park over to a neighborhood park, we could satisfy Exploration Park at, I think it's almost 1.2, if that would be the desire of the council to move forward with that park.
Thank you. I just want to make sure we're double counting our money, multiple parks. Thanks.
A couple questions on the extras. The city's been working with the Little League for the last couple of years on grant proposals for covers over the grandstands. And I don't see that listed as one of the items for, and is that something that was discussed or considered putting in as one of the extra items?
Not to my knowledge. It is something we can add as an additive and get bids on.
I think it's something we might want to look at, because the reason it caught me was the play area canopy, and I don't want to seem sensitive to little kids, but I spent about 10 years at Freedom Field, and I can't remember a time when there was a ball that came over there and threatened a kid down in far left field 200 feet away from home plate. So it just caught me that was considered. Was that something requested by the Little League?
That was something that came up during the design process as a safety, if you will, additive.
I'm not opposed to it. It just struck because I haven't. Maybe it's happened when I wasn't there. I just haven't seen that issue come up. But I do know that I hear from the parents at the Little League a lot that they'd love to have covers, even though they like the tradition of climbing up on the fence and hooking up the blue tarps when it starts pouring down rain. And to Council Member Todd's point, I think we're going to have a good discussion in a couple of weeks on the CIP, because I think we keep putting ourselves in this position of creating expectations that we struggle with when we come to actually getting to do these projects. But thanks.
We are.
Using the field in February.
Yes, so we have coordinated. Originally, this project was going to be advertised earlier this year. However, because of the compressed schedule, we got Bruce Dees on board in June. That did not provide enough notification to the end users to schedule their games and other fields. And so this schedule has been coordinated with all the end users.
Okay.
Okay.
Councilmember Cavallari.
One of the comments that I've heard from several citizens that they did want to see, besides, of course, the turf, was the PA system or sound system. Parsing that out, is there just a separate cost for that? Are we able to see this in pieces, like Councilmember Holzclaw was talking about the netting and backdrop area? Are we able to see specific costs with the sound system and whatnot? And secondly, would that money or could that money simply come from REIT for those additives?
So, thank you, Councilmember Cavallari. Yes, you would be able to see those. Each one of these items are segregated, and I have presented the total cost just for, again, for purposes of not disclosing the engineer estimate that we have at this time, since we're gearing up for bid. And I will need to defer to my our finance director to know if REIT funds can be used for a PA system.
Yes, REIT funds can be used for the PA system. We are not using park impact fees or park mitigation fees to finance this re-turfing, as those are not eligible expenses. That's why the entire project is being funded by REIT for our portion of that project.
That's mine.
Yeah. Yes, 8 years is normal life. You know, you often get 10 or 12. City has done a great job of getting 14 years out of that field. Although the theory says it's in poor condition, from a liability standpoint and a truth standpoint, I don't think it's in poor condition. It's in pretty good shape for the age it is. It is not a liability. I don't believe that somebody's going to trip and fall during our soccer season. It's still going out there. Cache Park was in bad shape. Everett School District. Memorial Stadium was in bad shape. Those things had lines coming up during games, you know, so we're not at that point. You know, I think it's kudos to staff and the user groups who've done a good job of taking care of that field over the years so that we've gotten more than the average life out of the thing. And so thank you to everybody who's been involved in making that happen, because that stretches dollars to stretch out that cycle time. So thanks to everybody for working on that.
Tonight was just the acknowledgement that our construction costs, at least as it's slated or indicated in the budget, may need to be adjusted once we know more about the bidding climate.
Correct, and your concurrence to advertise this project with this knowledge. Sure. Thank you.
Okay, consent agenda, approval of checks number 59145 through 59208 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $1,140,896.36. Audit Committee, Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw and Councilmember Cavallari. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $284,267.36. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
So do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is reports. I'd just like to say, Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw and I were at the grand opening for Planet Fitness. A lot of people there, great barbecue, wonderful facility. And I'd just like to welcome them to Mill Creek and thank them for our investing in our city. So with that, Councilmember Steckler.
I have two quick updates from the Arts and Beautification Committee. The council will remember, Arts and Beautification came before the council regarding a project for new signage for the city. Our old signage was becoming a little bit dated and was actually starting, in some cases, to disintegrate from age. The Arts and Beautification Committee came up with the idea of wrapping some of the power boxes that are on our major streets, and the council asked that we go ahead with one of those and then reach out to the community to get a reaction from the community on those. I'm happy to note that first wrapping did happen at the end of August. For the past 30 days, we've been getting feedback from the city and from the residents, and overwhelmingly positive, over 90% of the comments positive. No comments were negative. There were just a number that thought that maybe there was other ways to spend the money, homeless, 35th construction, other things that were more important. But overall, very positive response to that. So that's, you know, kudos to the committee, very creative approach, different way to identify our city. The other one is that the Arts and Beautification Committee has also come up with a new project for 2019 to create a special history of Mill Creek project that will be somewhere, hopefully in town center, possibly. But at this time, thanks to the city employees, We were able to secure a grant from Snohomish County, which will be presented to us sometime in November, but this grant was awarded to us and has to be utilized by the end of the year, and that grant will be utilized for its sole purpose of hiring a designer and creating the design of this project at no cost to the city. So the committee has gone ahead and retained a consultant to provide the design. They're moving ahead with that. So they've already got a new project that's on the books for 2019, but a good job to the city employees, communications and marketing, other individuals that helped to put that grant forward. That's it.
Real quickly, I'll just kind of reiterate what I said earlier. I'm very grateful for the dynamic and diverse group of citizens that apply for these boards, and I look forward to working with all the new members. Thank you.
Councilmember Mead. Mayor Pro Tem Holtzman.
Just briefly, kudos to the staff for the party in the parks in my neighborhood at Cougar Park. Was that last week? Walked down the street for that. It was well attended. Looked like a great event. Enjoyed the Planet Fitness opening. I'm also a member there. Taking off my city hat, I encourage people to join. It's a great facility. Tomorrow night, reminder, is the joint Snohomish County Cities and SCT membership meeting. I cannot attend due to curriculum night at Jackson for my two boys, but I understand Councilmember Todd will be there, and I'm not sure if anyone else will be there, but we'll at least have one representative tomorrow night. That's all I had.
I'm going to go ahead and read the ad. Hopefully you all got this, because this is open to everybody, and hopefully some staff are going to go, too. So come hear our riveting speaker, who's Roger Millar, Washington State Secretary of Transportation, and to compare notes with colleagues on how to effectively respond to upcoming growth and needed infrastructure. 250,000 more people in Snohomish County between now and the year 2050. The county's doing a lot of work. Transportation planners doing a lot of work. We've all got to do a lot of work on figuring out how we're going to deal with that, because 250,000 people doesn't fit into Snohomish County with the way we are today. We already complained about congestion, and so this is our chance as city council members and as community members to step up and kind of scratch our heads and get together and figure out how we can work on things. So I encourage you to go if you can, 5:30 to 8 at Weyerhaeuser Room at the Everett Transit Center in downtown Everett. And the fact you haven't signed up is okay. I don't think they're going to feed us anything other than a cracker and a piece of cheese, so you can get there early and argue about that. Last week, SCC had their dinner meeting. Thanks, Chief, and a lot of other folks for being there. One of the speakers was Brian Reed?
Brad.
Brad Reed.
Brad Steiner.
Brad Steiner. Excuse me. Brad Steiner. I totally lost it. Brad Steiner, Director of CSRS, gave a quick update on CSRS, and many of the people who were there as individual council members and mayors put their name on the bottom of a letter that I think someone's going to use to try to say, hey, this is an important thing. We need to get education out to voters about this proposition that's going to be out there. We as a city may think about whether we could take a position as a council. Otherwise, we cannot take, we can't make statements about it. We can take a position as a council under certain parameters, and we might want to consider doing that. This is a big deal. This is replacing the 20-year-old, for the audience, this is replacing the 20-year-old radio system. They pointed out, they held a cell phone that looked like my last one. They said, you know, this is the cell phones that we had 20 years ago. That's the same age of the radios. And you think about it, you don't have any electronics in your house that are 20 years old that are still running, or that you can get parts for, you can get repaired. So they're down to the point where they're buying stuff on eBay, and when somebody closes down their radio system, they're saying, can we have your spare parts? Can we have your other parts? And the big trauma was it earlier this year they had a 20-minute total failure? Chief, fill in on that, on the details on that.
Sure. It was there are a number of radio towers throughout the county, 13, 15. Mary, correct me on that if I'm wrong, but some of the components in these systems went down. And so radio communications between first responders, police, and firefighters, they couldn't speak to each other. They couldn't communicate with the dispatch center. And this was a 20-minute outage, and a lot can happen in 20 minutes. It affected the system countywide. Some of the direct communication impacts were more of in a localized area, but a localized area that included Mill Creek. And it was a matter of, I have one of those very old radios right here. I have to hold on to it carefully because the battery falls off. No joke. But we couldn't communicate with each other or with the dispatch center. And if someone in this room were to call 911 and say, I need first responders, then we would have a very difficult time talking back and forth during that 20-minute time frame.
Just start at the beginning. So when you call 911, that dispatcher starts talking to these guys, and they talk to each other and all the other support services out there on those radios. And so if those radios don't work, you can call 911 and talk to a 911, but if they can't call the chief or call the fire department or any of those other guys, that's going to be a tough deal. So this is a big deal. All the cities bonded, well, found money or bonded for this 20 years ago. I think we've almost paid off our bonds. The issue is it's going to be, we think it's be more, or the agency, and I believe in myself, is that it would be more efficient if everybody together said, let's just do a countywide funding package for this so we don't have to worry about whether Mill Creek can pass it or Mukilteo can pass it and worry about a kind of a piecemeal approach. So that's what's being proposed. It's been endorsed by the city, by the county council, and you'll see quite a bit about it in elections coming up. Thank you. That's it.
Okay. City manager.
No report tonight, Mayor. Then I'll just note on the planning calendar, you see that we're adding topics week by week, and I expect to add a few more in November and December meetings. But we could talk more about those when you see those identified next week.
Back to audience communication. Mary Kay, please.
I just have a quick question to be considered when you're reviewing your donation and sponsorship policies, and you've got a $50,000 under that the city manager would be accepting. Or my question would be, what if the city manager turns down a donation? And does the potential donor have any recourse to go to the council in order to get the donation accepted? And if that is addressed somewhere in there, because unfortunately a circumstance has arisen that was said, we will never accept money from them, and we don't necessarily want to be in that situation. So just as you're going through that, that would be a concern. Thank you.
Okay, with that, Scott?
Thank you. I recommend that the council adjourn to executive session for up to 2 hours under RCW 4230.110.1G and I, which provisions provide for consideration of performance of a public employee and potential and actual litigation. You might want to, if you're going to do that, extend the meeting by 2 minutes or time.
Action may or may not be taken.
I'll make a motion to extend the regular meeting till 9 p.m.
Second.
Just the second.
Motion and a second to extend our regular meeting to 9 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. And with that, we will recess to executive session as stated by the city attorney. For up to 2 hours.
They used to survive on the
probably coming.
Okay, so
yes, I am here.
Okay, so I was talking to Gina. So we are back on the record at
58.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
We're back on the record at 8:58. And then we are going to, what, we need a motion to, yes?
I make a motion to extend the regular meeting until 10 o'clock.
Up to 10?
Extend the regular meeting until 10 o'clock. We don't have to stay late, but we can't go past 10.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. We now need to go, Scott, back in executive session.
Extend the executive session for up to 1 hour.
I'll
10
that,
o'clock.
I'd be happy to make that motion to extend executive session for up to 1 hour.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? We're back in exec session. Okay,
Okay, it is 9:50 p.m. and we are back in regular session. Is that okay?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
My motion is that we direct the city attorney to draft a resolution terminating the city manager contract for presentation to council at our next meeting on October 2nd. Further, to extend the administrative leave of the city manager to October 2nd. And finally, to contact the attorney for the city manager in the interim about resolution of this matter.
Second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Passes unanimously. Scott?
Yes, thank you. In light of the motion, I know that you are all going to get asked questions, but in light of the motion, it is actually imperative that you say nothing. No comments can be made to anyone at any time for any reason. And if someone asks you a question, politely say, I can't answer your question, no comment. That's my directions to you as your city attorney. Please comply.
Message. Okay, anything?
Give them a break.
Scott, do you need anything else tonight?
No.
Do we need to?
Okay. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, yeah, we'll do that next week. Is that all right?
No, nothing further, Mayor.
Nothing further.
Okay, so with that, we are adjourned at 9:52. Thank you.
Thank you.
I figured one of you would have had the same.
Hey, I got a new website. The fruit is written down somewhere.
Yeah.